Hello, everybody. This is Prevention on Point, POP, and I am Brian Zimmerman, and I am happy to be here with my co-host, Tara Eldred. How are you doing today, Tara?
Good. How's everything going with you?
Yeah, it's going all right. Thanks. Yeah, I'm a little congested.
Spring.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we were trying to decide, you know, everybody, we were talking about what would be our next episode. And I had just done a presentation for middle school students in Chatham, and the district had asked me to speak about caffeine. And I said to Brian, what about caffeine? And he's like, yeah, that's a great idea. So here we are, Brian, talking about caffeine.
It immediately struck me as a good idea. It is, according to NIH, it is the most widely used drug in the world.
Understandably so. When we walk into any of our local convenience stores, into our office kitchens, into our own kitchens, right? I mean, this is something that crosses a lot of food and drink barriers, right? Like it's in several different products. So I think that's really the starting point too. I mean, the most used, did it say used or misused? Because I'd be curious.
Well, it said most widely used. That's what the NIH said.
Okay. I wonder if it is the most misused. I mean, if it is the most used, it
seems.
That's
a great question.
You know, and I think that's something that people don't realize, that there is a DSM-5 diagnostic criteria for having caffeine use disorder.
Yes. And do we want to explain what the DSM-5 is?
So it's a diagnostic statistical manual for our clinicians that are in psychology, psychiatry, and social work, used as a diagnostic tool for people when they're coming in for mental health treatment. Caffeine affects us in so many different ways. I don't think people realize it. And right now we're hitting an epidemic here with our youth, that they are using more and more caffeine. I mean, I remember as a kid, I was not really allowed to consume a lot of caffeine. I wasn't allowed to have coffee. Maybe I would have soda once in a while, but right now we have so many energy drinks.
I was really excited when you mentioned that we could talk about caffeine, Tara. One of the local prevention surveys when teenagers, and I think as young as sixth grade, right, are surveyed about their substance usage, energy drinks and caffeine are coming up as one of the most, is that right? One of the most prominent substances?
Yeah, one of our local organization, Columbia Green Addiction Coalition, was lucky enough to enter a few districts in Greene County. I don't know where they stand in these surveys in Columbia County at that time, but again, a lot of times people don't want to participate in these surveys, but what they have to realize is it really gives us a heads up on what kids are doing. They're a little bit more honest when they have that autonomy and are able to answer questions without people knowing and having that, you know, anonymous type of survey. So yes, that survey was given in two local school districts in Greene County, 6th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade, and 12th grade.
Right.
And it was found that the most misused substance was energy drinks, which I can understand. Again, when I walk into convenience stores now, it seems that there's an entire cooler full now of just energy drinks. And they come in so many different forms. They come in so many different sizes and flavors. Some even have protein with them now, so that it's like
that
a fitness booster.
That makes it seem like it's a wellness product.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
So it is flooding, it's flooding the market, these energy drinks. And when I was lucky enough to speak to the students at Chatham Middle School, they were pretty honest about how often they're using energy drinks. A lot of them spoke about getting energy drinks at the end of the school day if they're athletes, and using energy drinks as a little boost before they may go to practice or a game. You know, and when we look at the effects of caffeine and think of the young human body, and it's still growing and changing, that might not be the best substance to be introducing before athletic event.
That's right. I think it's really interesting. The first question you bring up is, what about caffeine misuse and how widespread it is? Because there's such a gray area. At what point does it become misuse? And especially with young people, we all, as young people, have an introduction to caffeine. And for a lot of us, it's our first introduction to anything that any kind of stimulant or any kind of substance that makes us feel different and maybe excited.
I agree with that. You know, and I think this is, again, one of those substances. We're not saying don't use caffeine, but maybe, you know, as we spoke about a few months ago for Alcohol Awareness Month, you know, maybe just be aware of your caffeine usage and how much you are consuming. And those are the conversations that we really want to have with people. You know, if you're going to have a coffee or two in the morning or an iced coffee, and then maybe an energy drink in the afternoon, along with maybe a candy bar or a sweet chocolate treat, we're just really starting to overload our body with a lot of caffeine. There's different things that I've read about caffeine. They're saying for 12 to 18 year olds that like 100 milligrams would be appropriate or recommended.
Okay. I like it. Let's talk milligrams here. Let's break it down. Let's talk milligrams. So you're saying that 100 milligrams or less has been cited
for 12 to 18 year olds.
For 12 to 18. Okay. So I'm looking at this basic chart from the Mayo Clinic about comparative caffeine content.
Yes.
And according to this chart, 1 8-ounce cup of brewed coffee is 96 milligrams of caffeine right there. So that's the quota right there would be 1 8-ounce cup of brewed coffee.
And if we truly look at what 8 ounces is, I don't really see a lot of people walking around with an 8-ounce coffee.
It seems so old-fashioned or like European or something to have an 8-ounce coffee.
Yeah, exactly. That's not, you know, usually we're seeing people walk around with, you know, those large plastic iced coffee containers or a large coffee. I'm sure if we took that 8 ounces and took it up to probably 24 ounces, yeah. So multiplying that by three, we're getting very close to what they recommend. I hate to say recommend because they're not saying to go drink caffeine, but, you know, that 400 milligrams is what would be standard for an adult.
400 milligrams.
Correct.
Okay. I also want to make sure we address the fact that in energy drinks, it's not just caffeine, but there's a relationship between caffeine and sugar and other things that might make it more addictive, especially to youth.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, that's, you know, there's things to talk about with caffeine. You know, it's naturally occurring. It occurs in a lot of substances, such as like coffee beans, right? Or tea. If you do not drink herbal tea and you drink a green tea or a black tea, you're going to have caffeine as well. And it is considered like a psychoactive drug because there are ways that the body reacts once caffeine is introduced. It's not just the mind, you know, it's the body as a whole. Yes. And then when you take those stimulants, you know, the stimulant of caffeine and mix it with other stimulants, we can always compound how they're working. So I think sometimes people don't realize it. You know, I spoke to those students and I said, listen, I've had a problem with caffeine at one time in my life. And I remember going to a staff meeting and having like a few cups of coffee. It was somebody's birthday and we got this chocolate cake with all this chocolate frosting. And
how old were you?
Probably like 24, 25.
Okay.
And then a few hours later, I crashed and it was almost scary because I was sweating and shaking. And I'm like, what is going on? Like I've ate today.
It's probably like emotional fallout as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just so much caffeine and sugar in my body from a simple celebration.
It's associated with something that's supposed to be really celebratory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was one of your first, Tara, that was one of your first experiences where you realized that what comes up must come down.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And it is part of our society. You know, we see commercials for several different brands and we drive by them on a daily basis. Our local convenience stores have wonderful flavors of coffee. You know, it's part of our social life as Americans.
Yeah, the country runs on caffeine to some degree.
I told the, you know, I like to say that a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to get coffee because I'm feeling tired. Like, it doesn't change you being tired, and it doesn't, you know, energy drinks don't give you energy. You know, humans get energy from food. So, you know, we speak about how a lot of times marketing is so amazing when we speak about substance use and misuse, you know, when we speak about vapes, right? You know, when you talk about vapes, people think of, you know, water vapor. Well, you know, vapes aren't water vapor, right? They're actually an aerosol. So we're almost misnaming things to make them
sound better. Yeah, I love this myth busting. Okay, so let me ask you, if it's not really giving you energy like food does, is it making you feel like you're more productive? Is it, what's it doing?
Well, right. I mean, it gives you the effects of feeling more energy, right? I mean, it's a stimulant. So you're going to get an increase of blood flow. You're going to get an increase then in brain activity because the blood is flowing through your body more. Your heart rate is going to go up. You know, these are all the things that start to happen. So yeah, you do feel a little bit more awake or energized, but there's repercussions to that as soon as the caffeine is out of your
system. And arguably, when you crash, you're going to be half or less productive as you were when you were.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I think it's one of those things that if you are going to consume caffeine, you have to also be smart about your water intake or other intakes and sugar intakes. And you don't necessarily pour a cup of coffee and think, oh, I shouldn't be having this. Unless maybe your doctor's had that conversation with you about your blood pressure or your heart rate or something. And I think caffeine is also one of those stimulants, you know, when you do choose to stop using it, there are withdrawal symptoms.
I wanted to specifically talk about withdrawal. Okay, so and everybody, a lot of people talk about this, and this is a huge barrier for people consuming less. Still remember when I was 20 or something like that, I had a landscaping job where I was getting up at 5 a.m. And it was the first time in my life where I was really relying on coffee in the morning. And I tried to quit and I got splitting headaches and I felt, I actually really did feel out of sorts and irritable emotionally. Now I couldn't self-regulate like I normally could. I was like, whoa, okay. Caffeine withdrawal is very real.
It definitely affects people and all those things that you just said, like those are the common side effects of caffeine withdrawal.
So headaches, irritability.
You know, headaches and drowsiness people report because they have had, again, you've had a stimulant in your body. Now your body has to learn how to self-regulate without that stimulant. You know, so all of your other chemicals and that help you feel awake and invigorated have to recalibrate because there isn't something else mimicking them.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Then when we go to the adolescent and young adult brain, right, as we've spoken almost on every episode, everybody in the Twin Counties should know this by heart, that, you know, the adult brain and the human brain, you know, is fully developed around the age, you know, average age of 25. So when we're introducing, again, another substance, you know, our youth are putting a stimulant in their body, it's just going to affect them even stronger.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, something people, kids get their driver's licenses and they stop and they stop and get a, you know, coffee or energy drink on the way to school and maybe on the way home or have some soda in the evening. You know, we really don't realize sometimes the amount of caffeine that we're intaking. I mean, that list that you started going through, you know, there are simple things like soda, you know, depending on the brand and what type, because there used to be sodas out there that had like double the caffeine.
Oh man, I gotta just say, so I looked this up because this dawn of energy drinks and high caffeine drinks, for me, I was like 11, 12 years old in 1985 when Jolt Cola came out. There was a lightning bolt on the can.
And it was red and blue.
It was red and blue.
And the yellow
It seems so
bolt.
Primitive now compared to the graphics, but it was 100%. Exciting. And it was, as a 12-year-old, I was like, I got to hit this. I want to know what this is all about.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. And I remember the slogan was twice the caffeine and all the sugar.
Yeah. And as a kid, you're like, yes, that is exactly what I want.
And we already had, I think about as a teenager or younger, you already got adults around you, including my mom, who's a church organist, but normalizing caffeine use,
yes,
and even remarking about how, like, I can't do anything in the morning until I've had my coffee.
Oh.
So what is that? How does that sound to a young person that they're, if an adult is confessing that they can't do anything in the morning without their coffee?
Right. I mean, that's exactly it. And how many times are even people listening, or even myself at one time when I was an avid coffee drinker, would say, like, oh, I just need a cup of coffee. I just need a cup of coffee. I'll be better when I have my cup of coffee, you know, all of those simple phrases. But right, when there's young people around us and we're saying things like that, right, that's that normalization, you know, same thing as we, you know, spoke about with alcohol, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I need a drink after work. You know?
Yeah. Same, like, thing. Same thing.
I'm going to go get a bottle of wine just to relax. Like, I'm not saying that we have to watch every single phrase that comes out of our mouths, but sometimes we normalize things without even realizing that we're normalizing them, you know, and again, this is one of those substances, again, is caffeine. It really can have really detrimental effects on people's minds and bodies. And I think there's been a lot of movement away from people having caffeine always in the morning, you know, and thinking about, like, their gut health and their brain health.
Gut health is a great one. That is what made me, one of the main things that made me stop drinking coffee completely, Tara, is when I acid reflux, and, like, yeah, I'm just basically pouring acid into my body. And
yeah, so I found an article that really broke down some other things, you know, on how caffeine can affect the human body. So they, of course, you know, like what we talked about, because it does spike your heart rate, it does then increase your blood pressure. And then this can be even more complicated when it is introduced with other elements, maybe sugar. And then something that we were talking about before we walked into the studio was combining, you know, caffeine and alcohol. So we'll have to get back to that one.
Yeah. I'll make a mental note to get back to that one there. Yeah.
You know, it depletes calcium. And, you know, I remember my mom always saying that, like, you can't have caffeine because it's going to stunt your growth.
Interesting.
I mean, that was something that was said in my home. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. But it does deplete calcium in bones.
Okay.
And, of course, because we're adding a stimulant, just like if we add any stimulant, it is going to affect our sleep cycle. So people could have sleep disruptions. I know, again, bringing up those conversations I've had with middle school students that are consuming energy drinks, they're like, yeah, I do have a hard time going to sleep. I'm like, well, the half-life is 4 to 6 hours for caffeine. So if you're taking an energy drink after school, so 3 o'clock, because you have a game or practice, and that's not leaving your body till 7, 8, maybe even 9 o'clock
Like, that's such an important point to get across, that there's a half-life. It's a while. It's not just when you don't feel high anymore. It's still in your system for, what'd you say, four hours.
4 to 6 hours. Yeah. Again, actually, everybody, you know, metabolizes everything differently. Yeah. So that's an average.
That's what I was going to say. It's always interesting to me to talk to my friends and people I know about what the latest they try to drink caffeine in the day is. And for me, it's like, I'm getting more and more disciplined about it, but man, like, if I even have caffeine now after noon.
Yep, that's me.
Really? Yep. That's you too? Okay. Yep. I really notice it'll affect my sleep whenever 10 hours later. Yep.
Agreed. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and I think these are the things that we have to start. This show about caffeine is about that awareness, realizing. And I know a lot of people have turned to those energy drinks too, you know, that they taste good. Some of them have like a seltzer form, but I have it up on my screen on my computer right now. And when I'm going through some of them, just one of these drinks, I mean, certain drinks have 80, like Red Bull has 80 milligrams of caffeine, this says. And of course, I do understand that I was schooled very well by these middle school students who told me I was very wrong.
Red Bull having 80 milligrams of caffeine.
Which I appreciate the knowledge, because I am not a consumer of energy drinks. So I was actually given a handwritten list. And it does, you know, and it's sort of like that 8-ounce cup of coffee, right? You know, this is what everything is coming off of, is the 8-ounce cup of coffee. Well, this is coming off like the smaller cans of these energy drinks. So yeah, I mean, these only increase from the numbers that we're discussing today.
Wow.
But, I mean, and some of these are going up.
Not to forget the energy shot type things.
Correct.
Which I have here a stat that there's some of these 2 ounce shots. It's like 200 milligrams of
200
caffeine.
200 milligrams. That's half like your daily allowance.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, one that the kids were bringing up to me a lot is this Alani. A lot of the female students were talking about that. That is 200 milligrams. So that's twice as much that
Alani. Okay.
Yep. That is allotted, you know, for 12 to 18 year olds. And that's half of what an adult consume. Now, I was just walking through Twin Counties and I'm looking at people's desks and I'm like, oh, two energy drinks on their desk and two energy drinks on their desk. I wonder if they had a cup of coffee. And again, it's just that awareness. If that is the drink you like and you reach for it, you might not think of what is in there, you know, or how much. Like, you know, there's caffeine in there and you know there's sugar in there, but how much is really there, and is it the best for you and your body, and are you experiencing things that might look towards a caffeine use disorder, you know, that you are truly dependent on caffeine. I think it's one of those stimulants that sneaks up on you. Because it is, again, it's part of American culture. You go out to breakfast, you have a coffee. Oh, I'll meet you for a coffee. We have coffee shops everywhere.
Coffee is a word that is used so just as anything. Like, let's get coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our coffee shops have become a beautiful space of art and poetry and spoken word and people just being able to lounge and have a cup of coffee and be present with each other, or just being present with themselves. And it's such a beautiful part of our culture, I think, coffee shops too. So,
yes.
You know, and I don't want people to think that we're here demonizing caffeine.
Oh no, I got something real to say about that. So as I'm a tea evangelist. I'm super into tea.
Yes.
I've been into tea for like 30 years. Mostly what I'm into is East Asian tea from wild trees that is ethically sourced. And most of it's actually made by ethnic minorities in Vietnam and China and Taiwan. Very traditional tea that is similar to what people have been drinking for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And first of all, it has less caffeine than coffee.
Yes.
Second of all, there are a lot of other notable compounds in good tea, such as L-theanine. These are things that actually relax you and make you focused, and that there's real science behind these things being healthy. And you're reminding me of that, Tara. Like, there's a whole world of the art of tea that goes back, I think, almost 3,000 years in Asia. That's about art. It's about meditation.
Yeah.
And being in touch with the universe. And in fact, even understanding one's proportion to the universe and all these really beautiful things. I want to make sure we don't slander.
Exactly.
Too much.
Well, you know, and I think other cultures, you know, throughout the world, you know, coffee or espresso or anything of, you know, that is a coffee product is treated much differently than we treat it in some places in the United States. So there are great traditions around caffeinated drinks throughout the world.
So one time I got to go to Europe, Italy, people just belly up and have a little coffee at the gas station out of a ceramic cup. And it's just such a part of the fabric.
Yeah.
But it's less. It's less caffeine.
It's much less.
It's also espresso, which, in case people don't know, is also less caffeine.
Yes. So, you know, I it's just something to think of, you know, and there are alternatives, you know, to caffeine, and there are alternatives to caffeinated drinks, such as like herbal teas or even waters or juices, you know, or sparkling waters or sparkling juices, you know, if people are looking for that taste sensation and without the caffeine. Just as any other substance, people can choose to just quit having caffeine in their life, and there are repercussions to that, of course, as we've discussed. But, you know, even cutting down, people are used to having 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day, which again, we're talking about 8 ounces. So if you are getting the large coffee, you are drinking 3 coffees technically, because that's usually 24 ounces.
Again, in the spirit of awareness, like you said, just do the math. Just do the math. Same way that you're like thinking about how one shot, 1.5 ounces is equal to one regular beer of alcohol.
Same thing, you know. So maybe instead of quitting coffee, you don't get the large coffee for a week or two. Maybe you get the medium coffee for a week or two. And then after that, maybe you get the small coffee. And maybe that will be enough for you mentally and physically.
A lot of people I know do the half-calf thing now, which seems really smart and like a harm reduction thing, right?
Yep. And that's something people should be aware of, even though it says decaffeinated, it is not fully decaffeinated. Decaffeinated coffee does have about 10 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah,
in it. So it is not.
That's like 5 to 10, yeah. 4 to 10, it looks like.
It's not the same load, of course, you know, that we're getting with caffeinated coffee. And I'm not really sure how that process works, but that might be something people would want to look into.
Yeah.
And when it comes to our young people, again, we are playing with a stimulant in a brain that is still evolving and changing and creating new networks within. And when we get that dopamine dump, as we've talked about several times before in the young adult brain, that we are changing the rewiring. And, you know, talking to young adults that are like having a gram of caffeine, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how did that make you feel? Because I'm like trying to analyze how I would feel. I'm like, well, if I drink a coffee, I'm feeling pretty woo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the student said to me, horrible. I felt horrible. I didn't get anything out of it I wanted to. I'm like, well, there's your lesson.
These teenagers, they got like
scary.
This industrial strength caffeine. They got like these vapes that have insane amounts of nicotine.
Yeah.
They're being bombarded.
And I think, you know, having that compassion and empathy and remembering that these young adults and adolescents are introducing these substances into their bodies, they're going to get addicted. And it is something that I think gets forgotten. People want to control what people are, you know, our young adults and our adolescents are doing, which is understandable because they're learning and growing and rules are there for a reason. And sometimes it's not that easy for them to quit. And even something like this, you know, like the energy drinks, that they're going to have the same withdrawal symptoms as a 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old.
Right, which
it might
I have
be
a quick
compounded
list of
even
withdrawal
more.
Symptoms.
Right? Oh, great.
Yeah, it might be much worse, actually. Headaches, fatigue, low energy, irritability, anxiety, difficulty with concentration, as if it's already not difficult as an adolescent, depressed mood, even tremors. These are all things that complicate adolescence, obviously. In my adventures with teaching teenagers and younger people, I always try to, without being didactic, just try to kind of create a conversation, or maybe like you said, just a little bit of awareness and kind of like joke around a little bit with students at the same time. And for me, the landmark moment of awareness for me was I was sitting around in my apartment when I was like 20 in college, and I had drank too much coffee, and I realized I was like panting. my breathing was messed up. It was super revved up. And like you just said, Tara, that those people were saying like, man, I don't like the way I feel right now. And I think about that compared to something like a meditation practice, which is the opposite, where you're finding your breath. So I try to bring that up to youth, especially like, do you really want to be panting, walking around life panting?
and just like all other substances that we ingest in one way or another, you know, there is a tolerance that is built. Your body starts getting used to those things, you know, and then tolerance becomes an issue, right? We're always seeking what we first found. That cycle of addiction that, you know, and This is how tolerance gets built, and as tolerance builds, so does the addiction cycle.
You've been listening to Prevention on Point Pop here on WGXE-ACRA Catskill Hudson 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to reach out, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, everybody.